One in 15 South Australians have diabetes, but not everyone is able to access the equipment they need to be able to monitor and treat their condition. And Diabetes SA, well, they argue it's not fair. John Seal and his wife Gretchen live in Balaclava, both are pensioners and both are type 2 diabetics using insulin. John, good morning.
Good morning, Rory. Thanks for having me.
John, how does diabetes impact your life?
Diabetes has really slowed me down a bit, and I just need to keep on checking at each time to see how I'm going with highs and lows.
And to do that, John, what equipment are you relying on?
Yes, in the past I've been lucky to have the home care program, and I am subsidised to have a monitor and a sensor to check on it each time I need to, at meal times, at night times. And it is set so that it warns me when I'm going high or when I'm low, yeah.
So let's talk about a continuous glucose monitor. What exactly does it do?
Well, it monitors your blood sugar levels at the point when you take the levels, but it also lets me know when I am going high and low. It has a warning beep, and then I'm able to react to that.
And John, at the moment, how much would one cost you?
Through the package, it was being subsidised for $112, I think it was. But if I had to go and buy it locally, it would be $160. And that's for myself, and my wife would be the same. Mm. And we have to spend that each fortnight because one sensor lasts 2 weeks.
Wow. That's quite an impost.
Yeah, well, do your maths for the month, Elizabeth, and you'll see what...
Is it something that you and Gretchen can pay for at that level to need? You know, you're talking about hundreds of dollars every month.
No, we're just it's out of our league at the moment. We're just totally on the pension.
Stay on the line, John, because I want to bring in Catherine Hughes, who is the Chief Executive Officer of Diabetes SA. Catherine, explain to us how many people like John there are out there in South Australia.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us talk about this today, Rory. Look, we know that in Australia overall, there are about 56,000 people who are affected directly by having insulin-dependent diabetes. So that could be that they have type 2 diabetes, and a lot of people might just be on a tablet. But then as your condition gets worse, you need to take insulin. And that's when these continuous glucose monitors become really important, because people like John, who go off to sleep at night, he may actually find that his glucose levels overnight go so low that actually you can get such severe consequences of even a coma. And
wow.
It is actually a really serious thing, and this happens for type 1s as well. So in Australia, a type 1 can access the continuous glucose monitors as a subsidy. But if you're a type 2 or you have diabetes from pregnancy, you can't. And so the outcomes are the same for these people, but their access to the subsidised medication is not.
Okay, so what exactly do you want to see change here, Catherine?
Sure. So essentially we've joined a number of state and national organisations, and we put forward two submissions to the federal budget. So these are covering off both the continuous glucose monitors, and that will allow access to young people. It will allow access to vulnerable people and people who are on a pension like John. And that will allow them to, instead of paying $400 a month, pay just the $30 or even, you know, less if they've got a pension card. And then the other part of the submission is for type 1s, there's new technology that's now available that actually allows a loop to occur. Mm. So that means that there is the ability to check your glucose levels, but then also it automatically gives the insulin as it's required. So if you could imagine being in a meeting, yourself on the radio, being in a school exam, and suddenly your alarm goes off, you've got no way to be able to quickly administer the insulin. So for type 1s, that is a real issue. And so we need to be able to have access for those people to something that is not going to cost the earth and allow them to manage their day-to-day.
That is the voice of Catherine Hughes, who's the Chief Executive Officer of Diabetes SA. It is 22 minutes to 10 here. Catherine, can you explain to us why there is a difference regarding continuous glucose monitors between type 1 and type 2 diabetics? It seems unusual that there would be a discrepancy.
I think that this is a historical thing. So what we know is that in Australia, the prevalence or the number of people with diabetes has exploded in the last 10 years. So we've had, you know, 30% of all diabetics have kind of appeared in the last 10 years. And that was identified in a federal inquiry that happened in 2023. And one of the recommendations that then came from that inquiry was for consideration of subsidies so that anyone who is having insulin can actually access these technologies so that they can safely monitor it. Because we know that there is a number of complications that lead to hospitalisation. And we've got all these problems in SA with ramping. We've got problems with access into aged care. So for someone like John, if he was to have a hypo, so his blood sugar goes low, he fell because he got dizzy, he could, hopefully not, but he could hurt his hip. He could end up in hospital. And then all of a sudden, he's on this trajectory to aged care because he wasn't able to monitor and self-manage his insulin.
Hannah's called in from Yankalilla. Hello, Hannah.
Good morning, Rory, and to your guest as well. I'm really pleased this subject has been raised. I have type 2 diabetes. Under the home care packages that ceased on the 1st of November last year, continuous blood glucose monitors were allowed. They were an inclusion. Under support at home, government has ruled that because these items are subsidised by government, you can no longer have them under support at home. The issue is type 1 is subsidised, but for type 2, it is not subsidised. That means a lot of people who were able to get them now can no longer have them. It's very, very short-sighted. The government wants us to control our diabetes better. They will happily amputate our legs under Medicare and pay the ongoing costs of care for us, but they will not allow us to have a $200 a month out of our support at home packages. It's really, really short-sighted.
How have you gone about your monitoring since the change came in, Hannah?
Well, I just used a blood glucose meter and test several times a day. But having access to the continuous meter just gives you that level of security. Mm. And as your previous guest said, you get a beep if it goes too high or if it goes too low, and you can adjust it. I'm not on insulin, even so, controlling it. Since I've had COVID, I have a lot of difficulty controlling my blood sugar. So this continuous blood glucose meter would make all the difference to my life and to my control, my health.
Hannah, thank you for calling and sharing your story here on the morning's program. Let's go now to Luke, who's in Adelaide. Hello, Luke.
Oh, hi, Rory. How are you?
Luke, I'm well. Tell us about your experience. You've been a long-term user of glucose sensing.
Yes, look, I'm a type 1 diabetic for sort of 48 years, so things have changed a lot since I was a child. But more recently, getting access to the glucose sensing, and I actually have a pump as well, and that's in a loop system, as Catherine was saying there. So it takes a lot of the sort of every, all the time during the day that you need to be thinking, oh, it's my sugar level doing? How do I need to react? The pump and the looping app can actually help manage that for you. So it's kind of what everyone else's body does. But we can get a part of that to help us with our daily lives. So, yeah, it's a game changer.
Luke, thank you for your call. We've got a question here on the text line, 0467 922 891. For you, Catherine Hughes, CEO of Diabetes SA, can you ask what she thinks of a sugar tax to help pay for access and for all diabetics? Catherine Hughes.
Look, I think that that was actually also a recommendation that came out of the federal inquiry. And it is something I know that is at a state government level. And so the opportunity to do that around a preventative health has certainly been considered, I think, by Preventative Health SA and through the SA government. And I think that, you know, we do need to be considering or at least ensuring that we've got clear labelling so that people can make better choices. So certainly that labelling of information to say whether it's actually something that's healthy and genuinely across the board. But I think if we need to look at paying for this, there is a need to really consider, you know, putting in these types of strategies.
Catherine Hughes, we might try to get you back on at some point soon because there's a really interesting text here from Amanda picking up on the statistic, 1 in 15 have some sort of diabetes in South Australia. Can we also talk about prevention strategies? Amanda, I'm pretty keen to get Catherine Hughes' views on that in a longer discussion at some point. Catherine, thank you for joining us.
Love to.